You know, they done made, I done got so excited, y'all. Is that all right? I done got so excited. Come on, somebody praising with me. Somebody praising with me. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Now, he's worthy to be praised. You praising him like you just met him. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, there's a couple things I want to get done right quick before we get into this. I found out that we are actually streaming right now. So I had something in my heart that I wanted to do. Let me ask, and I'm going to be doing this so everybody don't jump up right now so I don't have to tell you to have a seat. But let me ask for those in here who have loved ones that's over in Iraq. If you would stand up, anybody that got a loved one in Iraq, glory be to God. All right. I'm only going to pick a couple people, so don't be offended this day. And what you need to do is get with First Lady and give her your name, amen. Woman of God, come on. Yes, come on, hurry up. Who they got a child. I need somebody that got a kid. Come on. Right quick. You know, we live streaming, amen. And my heart was, I was always asking God, how can I do more? How can I be a blessing? And we just started doing streaming, amen. So God opened up the door. Then I'm always praying, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. I say, God, enlarge my heart. Show me what I can do. And he say, why don't you do what you see people doing? You got the TV, you got the stream. So what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to have somebody to speak to somebody, amen, over in Iraq from right here. We're going to wave at them, love on you. I thought that's, come on, somebody. I said that was a powerful thing, but I couldn't do it. So I'm trying to send an email, but now we're able to broadcast the service. I said, why don't we let somebody wave at somebody? So they can tell their loved ones. And we also want to say that we got your back, amen. The deal is still on. We're still praying for you, and we're still lifting you up and trusting God for your safety, for your deliverance, and even for your return in Jesus' name. Now, I don't want y'all to go into no preaching or nothing. I just want you to give them a shout out, call their name, amen, let them know you love them, and then tell them that this broadcast is actually going to be on demand on the website so they can go see it if they didn't catch it. Now, those, that's your turn coming up, you're going to have to tell your peoples to be online at the time you wave so y'all can amen one another. Come on, somebody. But I want you to give them an amen. And whoever it is, talk to them.
Right there?
Yes, that's them.
Hi, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Happy New Year. I love you. Okay.
All right. Tell, what's his name?
Oh, his name's Ronnie Smith.
Oh, yeah. You got too many poke over there.
Hi, thank Ronnie baby. Smith.
Yeah, you got to call our name. Okay.
All right. There you go.
Love you for that. Bless you. Oh, that's too, look at you. Yes, he's a... Go ahead.
Hey, Kasharis, Mom. I love you. I miss you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful new year, and I'm looking forward to you coming back 2011. Love you.
Amen. All right. God bless. Give them a hand of praise as they have a... Have a seat. Did you want to say something, man of God? All right, you on my mind. Bring the kids next time that can't talk that much. Nah, you bring on ones, let them be able to be a blessing. Go ahead, son.
Hey, Char, I just want to say I love you, I miss you, and I just want to wish you a happy new year.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, before I get started, I want to surely thank God for everybody being here. Thank you for your faithfulness unto the Lord, first of all, amen. That you love the Lord, that you want to end your year in him and start your year in him, amen. And I'm so thankful for that. But also I want to thank God for friends that I have here, my covenant brother and sister, amen. And actually they have the name that their name has been online before our name, amen. The Christian House of Prayer of San Angelo, Texas, amen. Let's give Pastor Ralph and Gwen a hand of praise. Bless you, man of God. Good to have you here. And I want to put it on record. If we beg him hard enough, it's a possibility that he might preach for a Sunday. So I want you to pray about that, amen. If I beg you hard enough, if we beg him hard enough, if y'all pray, amen, it's a possibility you might hear his voice on Sunday morning. Are you ready for the word? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, I really had set my heart. Can I get that cart? I feel like coming on down a little bit. You know, I'm going to start up here, but I'm coming down there. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to come down. There ain't no doubt about it. But I was asking the Lord. Now, I'm going to let you know tonight that I asked God for this word because I'm believing God for us to advance, enlarge, and increase. We will not be doing what we did in 2010. Come on, somebody. We will be doing what we did, but there will be some increase in our life. We're not going to be the same people. We're not doing this just because it got to get done. We're doing it under the commandment of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. So I asked God to give me a word. You know, you got to preach the gospel. But I know also the concept of New Year's is to say something that would be inspiring for the year to come. Come on, somebody. Don't act like y'all ain't. That ain't what you're listening for. But I said, God, give us a word that's going to last us all year. I'm talking about God, speak. Speak to us, you know, because my heart is, I believe God to speak to us, not just preach. And I'm going to show you the difference tonight. I trust God to speak. Amen. We're dealing with a living God. We got a divine connection. I know I can hear an inspirited word, not just an inspired word. So I ask God tonight, can I just do revelation? Can I give you something that may take you a year to figure out what the heck I was talking about? Yeah. You'll catch up with me in a minute. Because I asked him, can I do it? You know, you just can't go there because you got to learn how to feed the state. You know, you got to know the state of the flock. Come on, somebody. And then you got to know how to feed the congregation. Yeah, I just can't feed you just because I know it. Yeah, you get with me. I talk to you. But you know what I'm saying? So I asked God, can I just dump tonight in the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about something that would give you something to look for the rest of the year. Yeah. So he said, go ahead son. When he said that, I was like, because the Father let me have his way, not mine. Are you ready for the word? You know, we embarked on a teaching, and which comes, and I'm gonna give you insight on everything tonight. It's going to take you all year to figure it out. But I'm going to give you insight tonight on everything so that you would understand what the kingdom of heaven is and where the Christian House of Prayer of Colorado Springs is going. Bless you. You messed me up. I was working. I got to hit my head now. Get my mind back. Where the kingdom of where the Christian House of Prayer is going. Amen. But let's stand to our feet. For the reading of God's word. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Because see, I'm going to show you something tonight. If you catch this by the Spirit, you'll be in the Spirit the rest of your life. I'm going to show you something now. I think it's powerful. Now let me get excited before you do, because you might say, oh, Pastor, I already knew that. You ain't saying nothing that's real. Come on, man. Well, I thought you was going to say something. Say something. I did. Matthew chapter 13. This is going to be a blessing to you because it blessed me. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin our reading in verse 1. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And let's begin. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude would gather together unto him, so that he went into a ship and set, that the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed the seeds, some fell. Stop right there. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to bless the hearers, but most assuredly bless the doers. May the Spirit of the Word of God, the revelation and the understanding of Christ be made manifested in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Now listen to me tonight, because we're going to go into the new year and I got to preach this right. You got to come back Sunday morning if the Lord say the same, because you can hear this dynamite preacher, but you got to come back the Sunday after that so we can finish what we're talking about. But here, right here is the text where Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, the year that the Lord has given unto us, we're beginning to enter into the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as we taught on last Sunday, a new way of living. Amen. Because the church has lost its way. Oh, I'm going to help you now. The church has lost its way. It's in a way, but it lost the way. You'll catch what I'm saying in a minute. There is the, because Jesus said when he came, I am the way. He didn't say I was a way. He said I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So that means there is a life. All right. There is a truth, but he is, I am the truth. Definite article. So now he's defining here. Here we are talking to the disciples, and he's beginning this discourse with them to tell them about the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And now, just like them, they are disciples of old, which are the same thing we are in the new. We're disciples today. They were just back then. We're here now. And a disciple is a disciplined or trained one. One who's disciplined and trained in the teaching of the. So now, and the key to discipleship is you teach what you've been. You got to understand that, because if you don't, then we'll understand how we get this far off. See, I can automatically line something up just by what you're saying, because it should complement what was already. Oh, y'all got it already. I thought I was bringing something new. Y'all already got this. But let me explain it since I'm up here anyway. So now here's the disciples, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's been to open up to them the mystery. One of the things about, you know how they used to say the secret to the key is, but then as I was meditating on that saying, the secret to the key. Amen? The secret to the key. Well, the strength of that is, and I brought a key so that I can practically do this. This key opens up a box. And I'm going to give this key here, man of God, to that man. Now, that box got money in it. Now, he got the key. But how well off is he? He don't have the box, but the revelation is he don't know the secret. Where's the box? So now he got the whole planet Earth to go search to try to find the box that fit that key. But if I took this from him and told him the secret, all right. If he ever got the key, he owned, because he know where the box at. So the mystery of the secret of the key is not knowing the getting the key, it's getting the secret. Are you with me? This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. This is a mystery. The kingdom of heaven is a mystery. But he said, unto you is known. I'm assuming you know this because you are a child of God. But to the world, it's a. Now, my question, is it a mystery to you? How many of us still trying to figure out the mystery? And you in the kingdom. Now you can see how the world messed up if you don't even know the. Let's work with this. I asked God, can I go here tonight, this New Year's? Don't fall asleep on me, because if you do, I'm going to come beside you and holler. Oh, Lord, and glory. And you're going to wake right back up. But here we go. Let's get into the teaching. He says, and behold, verse 3. He says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Amen. He says, now, in this, without me going through all that, there's four different types of hearers. Come on, somebody. And now he's defining, telling them the different types of hearers that he's been to explain. And the sower went forth to sow is nothing but Jesus teaching the. Oh, y'all going to the head of the class. We're going to get this. It won't take all night to do this. So Jesus sowing the word. And he's saying there's different types of hearers hearing the word. But now, if we magnify this concept, because he said there was wayside hearers, amen, then you got stony ground hearers. We won't mess with them. You're going to get this in the coming up year. He said there's thorns. Those are, they, you know, they, these those that's living in the world are still hearing the word. Then he got the good ground hearers. Is that right? But now watch this. See, the purpose of the kingdom teaching is to increase your understanding, not to give you gifts. Because watch this. You go all the way down to the end of the discourse. I'm trying to redeem time because I'm on that clock without me eating up this. Verse 8 says, but others fell on good ground, and he brought forth fruit, and some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Then he asked this question, who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now, in same chapter, if you go into verse 11, well, let's start verse 18, he starts to explain what he just said, because really they didn't understand, because when he get finished telling them here, he say, understand thou this? Because see, the real increase of the Christian is to understand, not to do. Because don't you know, you can do something that you don't even understand what you're doing. You just learn the practice of functioning. But your understanding is not fruitful. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get it under. So the increase of the Christian is to understand how the kingdom operates, not to operate the kingdom. So you got a lot of people operating in the kingdom who don't understand the operation. Am I going somewhere right now? I told you I got to give you something that got to last all year. So this may heavy you down tonight, but you got all year to eat it. So every now and then, push your neighbor and let them know we're going to work. Because watch this. Now, let me give you a backdrop of the story here, because in chapter 13, he starts to talking about the kingdom of heaven. But now, if we go back into the history of this, really the scribe's job was to teach the church the kingdom. That's why they had scribes back then, amen. These were men and women who all they did all day was study scriptures. They study so they can understand and have the knowledge of God, so that when the people of God come, they can feed them. That's what we do today. That's what the church really is designed to do. Not to entertain you, not to do outreaches, all that's good. Secondary, primary, you come to church to learn of him. But what happened with the scribes ministry, and I'm kind of catapulting this so that we can get into it. What happened to the scribes ministry, the scribes began to see the popularity of the preaching. So when the scribes got all that information and people came and sat and they heard them say such things of eloquence and profoundness that they start to feeling good and the people start to celebrate them. So now the scribe says, look, doc, this is business here. Man, look how them people brought them gifts. Look how they called my name. Nobody's ever called my name like that. All these people come and bow before me. They say, man, let's put down this book and let's start working this crowd. So now what's happening is that spirit done went 21st century. So we come to church. A little tambourine, a little jumping. And after that, it stopped. Then the preacher get up and they give you two texts and a pill. Two texts and a pill of emotion. And next thing you know, I felt something. But the question is, did you learn something? And now because the people are honoring the gift no longer honors the call. So now the call is subject and depleting and becoming a drought, till the scripture says that the word of God was rare. He didn't say preaching was rare. He said a word from God was rare. So now what's happening is we got a whole lot of houses that's doing a whole lot of talking, but they're not hearing. And because the people haven't heard so long, they think that's what we're supposed to be getting. So they shouting over that. And then all of a sudden, a move of God comes. And God, see, this is what happened in the book of Ezra, chapter 5. See, Ezra, chapter 5, Ezra was the scribe. And God found favor with Ezra because Ezra stayed in the book. The other scribes, they dropped, closed the book, and began to talk. One little young preacher blessed me so I won't even mess with that. But it was back home, they sent a tape to me. And this young preacher said, the difference between talking and speaking. He said, because see, a pastor, a preacher can't say nothing except he heard something. That's speaking, meaning I rehearse or regenerate or re what was said to me. An ambassador is one that speaks on behalf of, and only thing they can say is what they told them. But we had a lot of people who talking and ain't heard nothing. Come on, church. We're going into 2011. We're going to have an expectation. Right now, just bust out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't get scared. Let the television know. Let your neighbor know. I'm trusting in the power of God, in the Spirit of God. Now watch this. See, even right then, see, we are so far from doing what God ordained us to do that we feel strange to do what you're capable of doing. So now here comes Ezra, and Ezra preaching the gospel. Ezra preaching straight gospel. But the people saying, it don't take all that. This is what Ezra, this is in your Bible. This is Bible. Now watch this. The Bible says that without a vision, the people. But I said, God, when you say without a vision, he said, no, son, I'm not talking about the vision where you go do some work. He said, I'm talking about the vision where you hear a word. You can't do no work if you ain't heard no word. The vision is the word. This is why, watch this. Let me give you a little revelation. This is why in Malachi, when you hear them teach Malachi, all you hear them teach about in Malachi is what? Tithes and offerings. Because that's the extent of the revelation that we choose to draw from that conversation. But that was a discourse that started in chapter 1, where the Spirit of God came to deal with the church. And the church was so out of order that he began to deal with the priests. Then he began to deal with the house of God. And then he started in chapter 3, start telling them about the offering. And he was telling them, really, this is what you should do with the offering. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. And we came in on that part of the conversation, and we're calling that the revelation. But that was not the revelation of the conversation. The conversation was repent because the house is out of order. The house is out of order, and he dealt with the priest. Then he dealt with all this pornography and fornication and adultery. He said, man, you can't get to the presence of God when you're acting like this. You're not even subject to the Spirit of God. You're not even under the authority of God, even though you're representing the house of God. So when he started dealing with them in Malachi, some of the saints walked in and heard him, bring ye all the tithes. Well, this was the revelation about bring ye all the tithes, because he said the purpose for you to bring the tithes is not for me to get you a car. It's not for me to get you an increase. It's not, he said, because bring ye all the tithes into the house, that there would be meat in my house. And prove me, not watch me, not test me. Prove me, said the Lord, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out of. So he said, now if I'm opening up the windows of heaven, what is a window made for? Fresh air, to see. Come on now, y'all got windows. What's the window open up for? The window is there for you to see. So in order for you to see, your giving opens up the spiritual window for your vision. It ain't to get your car. That's carnal. The giving is open up the window for you to see what God is saying. Now watch this. Because the kingdom operates through cooperation. And I told you I got to go deep now. I'm going to give you enough. You might just go home and I done drunk too much. Because this is what the scriptures say. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Come on. Be filled. What do you mean? Get so much Spirit in you that you feel intoxicated. I feel like he done preached. Woo! That's Holy Ghost drunk. See, we just used to them little kibbles and bits in one shot. Can you take an hour and a little bit of just straight preaching? All right. Then I'm talking about this level preaching. Will I make knock you out? Yeah. Papa gonna knock you out. I told y'all you gonna mess with me. I'm gonna pull up. So now watch this. So this preaching, he says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, meaning that in your giving and your living, you open up the window of heaven so that I can talk to you, because I ain't going to mess with my nose. I see I'm already out of my belly. Watch this. Because the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, work that, preacher. What do you mean? See, because this is what Ezra said. I'm going to take you to Nehemiah chapter 8 to make sure that you get this in you. But this was the purpose of him bringing the book, because he said God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not the rakabambabokisa. That's not the spirit he's talking about. See, the spirit he's talking about is God is a spirit. And in order for God to talk to you, he only talks by the spirit. So in order for him to communicate with you, he got to develop a connector. I was asking the people, how can I get an email out in case we can't come to church that will communicate with everybody that, you know, we're not having service? And they say, well, Pastor, you got the emails in here and you got the system over here, but what we don't have is something that connects the two together that it can communicate. So what the Spirit does, the Holy Spirit's ministry, is he connects his spirit with your spirit that you can talk to God and God can talk to you. Praying in the spirit is just a personal enhancement development, but the purpose of the spirit is for you to commune with God. So now if your spirit ain't talking to God, you can't hear. And if you can't hear, you can't see. And if you can't see, you can't speak. What are you saying if he ain't said nothing? See, the church got to get back into him. That we can't talk to God because you come to church. You can't talk to God even just because you got a word. Because the word cannot be revealed without the spirit enlightenment. So all you got is information. But I'm going to show you Bible. Because see, let's go there. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Am I doing any good? See, our desire for 2011 is I want to hear from God. I don't want to work for God, because God is not looking for speakers. God is not looking for speakers. God is not looking for workers. God is looking for hearers. All right, hold on. Are you there? Are you there? You ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. I told you to go to Nehemiah, right? My God, my God. This is such a powerful word. Watch this. And the word, you know what? One of the things I did not know, this is how powerful a word should be in your life. I did not know my pastor's preaching 15, 20 years ago would be food and health for me now. I thought it was supposed to feed me when I ate it. I got it. Can I help you? No, the pastor's preaching is supposed to feed your future. See, the word you're getting from the pastor should be the word that speaks in your now and even prepare your future. That's why they call them seers. If the words you can't, if you giving me can't feed me now, surely it ain't gonna feed me. See, I'm eating off the foundation of a word that I heard 15 years ago. But I, being real honest, just like you is today, I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about, don't you? I didn't even know what he was talking about. I was taking notes and saving stuff. I just knew it was important. I knew it was valuable. But far as that day, I didn't know what to do with what that man was talking about. I'm sitting there like, uh-huh. Just like the disciples, he say, understand thou this, and guess what the disciples said? Yes. And them boys knew they ain't know. That man talking about a tree and the sower and the thorn. Man, you don't know what that man talking about. But we feel so prone to make sure I'm not ashamed Uh-huh. Then we walk out and tell him, shoot, man, shoot. What that doctor, man, what? I don't know if he's crazy. Am I crazy? Do you know what he said? No. No. It was good, though, wasn't it? But the grace was not in whether it was good. The grace more, the maturity is, did you understand? Nehemiah chapter 8, are you there? I can close this down because we going home with this. I'm going to drive this car all the way to the house. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now let's work here. Yeah, I'm going to drive this car all the way to the house. This car almost already started. Watch this. It says, because see, if you don't understand something, that's your, I didn't say, that's why he said, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. I want to show you in the text what the Bible says. What the Bible says, and he asked them, and he said, amen. Now watch this. He said, amen. A-M-E-N. But now we know amen is what? A-M-A-N. But he said A-M-E-N. I can preach this gospel here. This is a bloody gospel. It's supposed to draw blood. It's supposed to draw me out of my old and push me into my new. I don't want a word that's just going to satisfy me tonight and it can't take me nowhere. Push me, cut me. Come on, if I'm going to make great, that's what the coach job is. I'm to push you where you don't want to go. But I know you can go there. Right here it says, and all the people gathered themselves. Let me give you an understanding of even what you do. Because see, if you don't understand it, we do it, but we don't even understand what we do. He said, all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the Watergate. This wasn't Nixon now. This is the real Watergate. He says, and they spake unto Ezra, the what? To what? To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded of Israel. And Ezra the priest. Now watch this. See, you remember I told you, even though he was a student of the word, he had an office. He said, Ezra the scribe. Then he said, Ezra the, your priest is your preacher. Come on now. They ain't got to be Catholic. Priest is just a man who, a woman who stands in the office to teach you and feed you the word of God. So I am the priest. We call them pastors. Everything evolves. So don't worry about it. So now you're talking about the pastor. He says, oh my God. He says right here, he says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was at the Watergate, and spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded him. And Ezra the priest brought the what? The law before the what? Congregation. What is this? Come on, y'all. I got to keep you in the book. Brought them before the congregation, both of men and what? And all that could what? With. Oh, y'all better come on with me. See, this is going to even delineate why you should have children's church. Because every kid can't, even though they can. See, we just, you know what I'm saying? That's why we got to support our children's ministry so that we can get them in an environment where they can hear and understand. See, I want you to know what understanding. See, we got folks doing stuff. The church don't even know what they're doing. Then when you got people in there, you tell them to do something, you don't even know what they in there confused, one trying to figure out what the heck going on. And nobody can tell them why they're doing what they. And we can take this all up the ladder to bishops, apostles. No disrespect to no office, but we got some folk who got in a position and don't know what the heck they doing. Nobody prepared them to do it. Not that they bad people, wrong people. They just took a position because of the hype of the people. He says, in the Watergate that they, and then on verse. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, the men and women, and they could all hear and understand upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning and until midday. So don't get tired on me. Before the men and the women, those that could, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So now the purpose of the, or the increase, or the proof of the preaching is your understanding, not your hearing. whole lot of folk is here, but they're not here. It's called occupational deafness. Yeah. You here, but you ain't here. You listening, but you ain't paying me no attention. Because the Bible said they got to be with attention. So you hearing me, you ain't deaf like you can't hear. But you ain't paying me no attention what I'm saying. He says right here, verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon the what? Come on, church, don't get nervous now. Stood upon the what? See, now this pulpit is just the only time you're going to see that in the Bible. And it's called Nikdol, N-I-C-K-D-O-L. See, this is a pulpit. It's a higher raised platform. It's not a podium. See, the podium is what they use when they're doing, speeches. And they set the podium on the side because they're talking to you, but they're about to introduce, expect, or something else to be the main attraction. So they're doing all they talking, then they're going to say, and now we present. All right. So they left room for who they present. But when you're preaching, the one you're preaching about is the main attraction. Yeah. So he should be in the center of the flow. All right. Ain't nobody else coming behind Jesus. All right. We're not going to talk about nobody but Jesus. So he should have the center. Right. You know the center, the circumference, the base, the boundary, and the beauty. Come on, somebody. See, it's all about him in the church. Yeah, yeah. See, it's sad when the church don't talk about him. Because this is what Jesus had, God had a problem with the old church because they quit talking about him and they talking about everything else. Yeah. What's happening in the streets, public life, your life. You better not do nothing wrong. They'll call your name. Yeah. Is this all right? Now watch this. He says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. The pulpit was made for the what? What purpose? Preaching of the gospel. And beside him stood Matitiah, okay, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Messaziah, and Zechariah, on his right hand. And on his left hand was Padiah and Michelle and Tiki and Malika and Hashinam. And that's how y'all get them names from. Y'all in that Bible reading that stuff at night. That's going to be my baby name. He can see clean. Man, what the world you talking about? You done stole them folk name. But watch this. Let's get past them, brothers. Get to verse 5 before we lose our grace. He says, and Ezra, what? Open the book in the sight of the people. Don't preach to God or be a pastor and don't open the book. The people came to hear the word. The people have been lacking hearing the word. I'm going to show you so. He said, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people, above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people, what? Why do you think we asked you to stand up? Because we've been to bring the book. You're not just standing up. You're standing up to honor the entrance of the word, the book. Can you understanding is fruitful? You know, some folks, let's all stand. You just stand up. But you don't even know why you're standing up. But you're standing up to honor the book, the entrance of the word. So he said, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered what?
Amen.
Now look it right there. Amen. What do it say? Let me see. You got to read your Bible. See, because I thought it was A-M-E-M-A-N. But it's really A. Now, amen is a derivative of a man. Amen is to say, I agree, I accept, I acknowledge. So whatever you just said, I'm saying I agree, I acknowledge, I understand. But now that's the first amen. Why would you say amen and? I told you I agree. I told you I accept. I told you I acknowledge. No, the second amen is for your cooperation. Because if you understand what I said, then you should do what I asked. So he says, amen, and? Amen. So when you're telling your children to do something, you say, amen, and amen. The first amen, do you understand what I'm talking about? Because you can't do the second one if you don't understand them. So it's amen, and? So that means I should see some action after we leave here. Come on, somebody. We done amen this thing. Bring it to your natural vernacular. Yes, I understand. I'll do what you said. All right. So let's not stop there. Don't stop there because it's in your Bible. So he said, verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, and amen. With the lifting of their what?
Amen.
And they bowed their
heads.
Let's bow our heads and pray. You understand? When we stand up and after we bless the word, you bow your head, right? Because that's a humbling. That's the humble yourself in the presence of the king. Don't be looking, the king talking or praying to you. Bow your head. Acknowledge who he is and where you at. So you bow your head. It's called worship. See, when you do what your parents tell you, that's worship and it's respect. Don't be they telling you something you. What you're saying is, I don't respect you and neither will I obey you. You don't realize how stubborn some folk is. You trying to teach them and tell them something they. Because see, it's the Holy Ghost that's about to talk. So you can't, he said, how you going to call me Lord, Lord, if you won't. You won't amen me. Right here, let's stay with Ezra. He said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the God, and all the people answered, amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with what? Their face to the, and Josiah and Benaiah, Shem and Jonam and Tiki and all them, keep going, verse 9, and Nehemiah. No, verse 8. So they read the book in the law of the, in the law of God, what? Distinctly. And they gave what? Don't be talking and you can't explain what you're talking about. That's why he said you got to get it under. See, if I left out of here and you ain't gave me no clarity on what you said, what profit is that to me? He said that when he got, you're going to call me a teacher and every time we get together, I'm confused. You can't be a teacher. Not every time I'm confused. I know I don't know much. But it's your job to make whatever you know plain. I don't care how deep it is, your craft, your grace is the ability to make the deep simple. Don't let it become in the deep and leave out the deep. Now, you, I need another teacher to explain what you taught. It ain't that deep. He said, verse 8, and they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and they gave sense and caused them to what?
Understand.
That's the grace of preaching.
Yes,
is do your work. Do your homework. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Why unto God? Because I called you. A workman that need not be ashamed, knowing how to rightly divide that word. Not read it.
Am
I doing any good, man? You got to rightly divide it. Then he says right here, verse 8, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Teshita, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, the Levites that taught the people and said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Moan not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard. Have you ever been somewhere, and this happened to me, that you preach the gospel and the people begin to cry? They begin to cry. Because what they saying is, it's been so long. I did this. I was at a service round, and I was preaching, and the woman was over there crying. She was lit. I'm thinking like, God, I'm saying to myself while I'm preaching, what am I saying to this woman? I'm trying to rehearse, but I got to stay focused because I'm in front of people. But I done said something made this woman cry. After the service went on, I asked her. I said, ma'am, did I offend you or violate you or say something? She said, no, Pastor, that's not it. She said, it's been so long since I heard word. She said, it felt so good, I just cried. Oh, I'm telling y'all, we in this book. She said, it's been so long since my spirit was fed. She said, she cried. 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 He said, when you start preaching this gospel, not my hearing, because he said, those that have ears to hear, let them. So the first hearing was my understanding. The second hearing was my spirit was being fed. We can go to church and your spirit don't get fed. Have God ever been so good to you that you cried? I ain't talking about people talking about, what's wrong with you? Can I do something for you? No, baby, that's not it. God is good. I can't tell you he done blessed me like this and like this and like this. I'm sitting here thinking about it and I just start crying because I never felt that good on the inside. Because he said, yo, be strengthened in your inner man. See, the preaching should feed your inner man that will regulate your outer man. Because the Bible says that when she had the two children, she said that the older shall serve the. Let's make that real practical, Pastor. You know, when you got saved, you know, you 30, 40, 50, 60 years old right now. But you've been in the faith 10, 15, 12 years. So she says, your older man, which is your old man, got to serve, got to submit and follow under the order of this new man. Even if you're 21 and you only been saved a year and a half, that 21-year-old you got to submit to this 1.5-year-old you, because the spirit man is stronger than the soul. So the purpose of getting down to this end, the purpose of our seeking this year is that my spirit can be in control. Not only that I don't smoke and drink, but I can be led. Because the Bible says that them that are led by the Spirit, they are the, not them that go to church, not them that got an office in the church singing the choir. It's them that have matured to be led by the Spirit. They are the sons. And the Bible says that the world, the manifestation of the Creator, the creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the sons. What he's saying, I'm waiting for those people who start got saved, who in the church, to get mature enough to let the Father of the church lead them so you can get me out of this hole. But every time I come in contact with you, you acting like me. So I'm waiting for the manifestation of the sons. The men and the women that are mature, disciplined, and broken, and submitted to the orders of God, that God can lead them to change the world so we can be like the church that they said, these are those that's turning the world right side up. When the church don't have an impact on the world, we've lost our salt. And the Bible says, what good are we? Oh, no. What good are we? So it ain't enough to come to church. It ain't enough to, you know, do your this and do that. The real purpose of your relationship is to fellowship with him so he can talk to you to lead you into the work of God. That's the purpose of us, that we can represent heaven on earth. That was my, this is my closing. We preparing for 2011. The whole design of man is that heaven can be brought on earth. If God wasn't trying to do that, he had heaven already. But his longing was to have fellowship with man. So he gave his son to come and establish a mediator, a go-between, that we can create an avenue of fellowship, that I can make heaven, earth look like heaven. So we can have heaven on earth. Yeah. We can have heaven on earth. So our desire for 2011 is the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning I desire to hear, not work, not speak. My first primary motivation is the fellowship with him so I can hear. Because if I get a word from God, it'll save me. It'll deliver me. It'll heal me. It'll keep me. It'll sustain me. A word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. That's what you're longing for. A word from the Lord. Your creative ideals come from the Lord. Your healing gonna come from the Lord. Your breakthrough gonna come from the Lord. Your deliverance gonna come from the Lord. Your change gonna come from the Lord. Your increase gonna come from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord. I can't look at man. I'm not trying to work myself to the bone. I'm telling you, I dare you, I provoke you this year. If you would spend time with God, your life will literally change. I ain't talking about no 5-9 year plan. I'm talking about an inspired in spirit. Have you ever noticed every time you got right with God, you got a change, an increase, or something happened? Then you go back to your old ways and you lose it all. What if you can just stay with him?